When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Friday and welcome here to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel. We're with you a day later this week. And I heard about it. Like, where's headlines? I was out of town for an on-3 meeting and I wanted to be in studio with Sip Friday for our spring game preview show. So here we are as we get ready for Saturday's 11 a.m. red-white spring game. Looks like they're going to be able to kind of get this game in between some storm systems over the weekend, where we should get a good day for football. About 60,000 plus SIP expected for the red-white game. Let's kick it off. Let's set the stage here for what should be a beautiful Saturday at Memorial Stadium with over 60,000 fans at the red-white spring game, and we're going to see a game. Matt Rhule has been pretty adamant about this, that this is not an – I think he took these words. I always call it a celebration. It's kind of a throwaway.
He doesn't like that.
He doesn't like that.
No.
I think he listens to our show.
I do. I know.
He does, I've said that before.
Actually, I know he does listen to our show.
I heard that on the play. I'm like, oh God, that was my words. But it's a practice. They're going to get a lot of work done.
Yeah. He said some interesting things during his media availability on Thursday. I mean, the main thing, it was music to my ears right out of the gate. The goal is to play a game, he said. And Nebraska did play what resembled a real game last year. And as was the case last year, there will be offensive linemen who have to rotate between the teams because of, you know, depth. They'll have to rotate some guys. Also, he did say the lack of depth at receiver this spring, Sean, because some receivers are limited by injury, will impact how the scrimmage is structured, and we'll just have to see how that plays out. The one other thing that he said, he added this kind of late in his talk. He said, this isn't the red-white game for me. This is the red and white shootout for me. I know we'll be able to run the ball. This is Matt Rhule talking. I want to see if we can throw the ball. I want to see if we can catch the ball. I want to see if we can engage in two-minute offense. There'll probably be a lot of no-huddle, two-minute action. I want to see if we can throw, catch, rush the passer. A lot of throwing tomorrow, Sean.
It's going to be exciting.
I would say so, because some of the most exciting players, some of the players that we're most interested in are throwing and catching. You know, I mean, Dylan Raiola, number one. And I'm going to say Jamal Banks, number two. But there's a long list of guys there.
Well, and he always talks about Georgia, how that's the model. Well, Georgia went ones-on-ones, twos-on-twos the entire spring game. And their quarterback, Carson Beck, who might win the Heisman this next upcoming year, he threw for nearly 50 pass attempts in that game.
Yep.
So I'll be curious how he pushes it with some of these quarterbacks. All three quarterbacks, though, will get an opportunity with the top offense.
Yeah, they'll rotate between teams. He said, and he was talking fast, as Matt does, but he said there'll be ones and threes together, so the first team and a third string together, and then the twos on another team. Does that make sense to you? That makes sense.
Yeah. Well,
that stuff always sort of befuddles me when he's.
Well, the one defense will be on one team.
Yeah. And the one offense on the other.
And then the two and the two.
Yeah.
And then you have the threes and the threes.
I guess. Again, we've just muddied up the conversation. But the bottom line is they're going to play a football game. That's the bottom line. I don't really care how they split up the guys, because guys are going to be moving between teams to a certain extent. We're going to see football like last year, which is good. That's good.
And it's a late spring game. I mean, I was just with 25 other guys that cover major college football teams in Chicago, and they were all like, man, you guys have a late spring game. But honestly, it's smart because of the portal. Like, the portal will close on May 1, and so you don't have to, like, worry about that being a distraction, you know, and that will take care of itself after spring ball's over now. But there, you know, I think extending it kind of gives you a little bit more room, and the weather's better too.
Absolutely. That's big. I mean, that's big for the fans, and it could help the fan count. Yeah. The portal, I guess what you're watching maybe is a little quarterback. I mean, I haven't heard anything that any of those guys would leave, but we talk about it. I mean, there's a reason I think that Matt Rhule, you know, I mean, he portrays it as a race that's pretty wide open, and the portal influences those conversations, or you would have a hard time convincing me they don't. I just think you got to play it safe on those, in those situations.
I do like the window though, in the sense that the portal window that closes on the 30th or May 1st.
Yeah. May 1st. Yeah.
Just because some of the, I remember before the window existed, you'd be covering like guys entering the portal in June, July, all the way up into August. This kind of like closes the door quickly, unless you are a graduate.
Right.
And graduates can enter the portal anytime they want. So that's the, I mean, if you have an older player that doesn't like the lay of the land, you know, like last year, like Brant Banks,
right.
You know, he entered the portal because he was going to graduate.
Right. So yeah, you got to watch those guys, but yeah, I'm with you on that. I like when the spring game falls, I think it was well conceived. And here we go, 11 a.m. It's on BTN, and we're going to watch football. And you know, Matt alluded to it yesterday too, Sean. Remember last year, what largely defined the spring game was 8 turnovers. And he just said, I don't want to see a game where there's periods of good football followed by a turnover. He doesn't want to see it.
The quarterbacks were live last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to add to the turnovers. Yeah. Like this year, they're not live. So
I don't think so.
On that piece of information alone, the turnover should be less.
It should be.
Because the quarterbacks aren't going to, I mean, get hit. So they're not going to fumble. Theoretically, your quarterback should not fumble in this game.
Right. I really like, I mean, I just want to say that I want to give voice to this. I really like Rhule's posture when it comes to these things, when it comes to these spring games, that they're really important to him. I mean, he's watching for players to see how they respond in that environment. He wants good football. It isn't just a throwaway. And that helps. I gotta think it helps you, Sean. It helps me as I cover it, take it more seriously, right?
No doubt.
You're gonna be watching some guys, and we'll get to that later, but yeah, expecting a big crowd. 11 a.m. kickoff is early. It'll be interesting to see what that dynamic looks like. But we're gonna see some football.
I'll never forget if it was the spring of 21 or the 2019 one where they did thud. Might have been 2021, where literally like the second the quarterback or anyone got touched, the play was dead.
Hard to watch.
I mean, and I'm like, I put my pencil down at that point.
Did you?
And it's like, what are we doing?
Weren't keeping play by play. I didn't really either. It was hard. I went down on the sideline and was barely watching. There was one year it was sort of meaningful. It would have been Adrian's second year. So would that have been
2019?
The one thing I will take away from spring games that aren't all that intense, and I don't talk about this very much, but I told people after that spring game, Adrian didn't look that good. He didn't look good in that game. I didn't like the way he looked at all. He missed some throws, and he didn't have a very good year.
When he gained weight.
Gained weight.
He kind of lost his step.
Yeah, he lost his fastball. And it was, if you really watch that game, which I was a big Adrian fan, and it was exciting coming off his freshman year. And I can remember vividly telling people, that didn't look right.
Well, then the opener against South Alabama, I mean, they were 38-point favorite, which was the largest point spread any team in college football had that week.
Uh-huh.
I remember that because I wrote that back then, and they were supposed to just destroy South Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And it went into the fourth quarter.
It did. It went down to the last few.
Well, if it wasn't for Maurice Washington, he came off the bench because he was suspended.
Yeah.
And then he ran really well.
I think you're right about that, yeah.
He had like 100 yards in the second half.
Yeah. So,
but there are the snap issues too with Cam Jurgens.
Yeah, there was that. But what I'm getting at, Sean, is in spring games, you can take them too lightly because there are things to watch that are meaningful. I just give you the Adrian example because it was meaningful, it turned out to be really meaningful. So you'll be able to watch, and we're going to get to these players that we're going to be watching. So I don't want to talk about that now.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, yeah, let's take it before we get to headline number two. Thanks for joining us here on Husker Online Headlines. Husker Online Headlines brought to you by Omaha Steaks. And nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers, four of each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, the New York strip burgers, the ribeye burgers, the brisket burgers, and the sirloin burgers. You get 20 total burgers, and you'll get all this deliciousness just for $79.99. That's 20 beefy, juicy burgers for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today. These are the kind of burgers that can only come from Omaha Steaks, from the mild and tender filet mignon burger to the rich and buttery Steve Sipple favorite ribeye burger. Yeah. Every bite is backed by their 100% unconditional guarantee. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop for the Burger Perfection Flight today. That's omahasteaks.com and order the Burger Perfection Flight for $79.99. You're going to want to hurry as supplies are limited. Thanks again to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us here on the Husker Headlines. All right, let's take it headline number two, and let's zone in on offensive faces to watch. Okay. And I'm going to go off what we wrote today on Husker Online here on Friday because we kind of previewed our players to watch going into the game. But clearly Dylan Raiola, all the quarterbacks in general. But I think for you and I, we were spoiled that we got to see Dylan Raiola for an entire week in Honolulu practice. Nobody here other than high school coaches and former players and maybe families of players have been able to watch practice. So for 55,000 or 60,000 people, they're going to get their first look at Dylan Raiola in a Husker uniform.
They are. And I think we can say to this point, he's had a good spring, and I would almost say very good. I think I'm not saying that every practice has been very good, but he's had a lot of good moments. He's handled this all very well. I mean, we're not talking, you know, we talk to a lot of people in the program. It's exciting. Dylan has exciting talent. You know, he has exciting arm talent. His football acumen is excellent. I mean, it's excellent. He wants to be great. He wants to be an NFL player. He's got a high degree of want to in terms of wanting this program to get on track, and him and, you know, his family and him helping be the impetus to that. So it's a great picture. I never worry about him. I just don't worry about him.
I was watching the NFL draft on Thursday night, and I thought about this as the quarterbacks were being picked. Ohio State, Georgia, and USC, all three of those schools, that was their first quarterback pick. They all wanted him, and he was committed to two of them at one time. Yeah. And USC wanted him just as bad as Ohio State and Georgia.
Yeah.
Guess who dominated the draft last night? Those programs.
Yeah.
And Nebraska is able to get this guy. I mean, if it works out, I mean, it is a historical moment. If this works out and turns the tide of what we've had to deal with here, like,
we'll look back on it.
It's a moment that, you know, he picked Nebraska over Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. He picked Nebraska over Kirby Smart, over Ryan Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really remarkable. And
it is.
Without being a legacy, it never happens.
Probably wouldn't happen. No.
Without his uncle being on the coaching staff. I mean,
yeah, and his dad being a legend here. And no, you're right. I'd like to say otherwise, but no.
And Rhule retaining Donovan, if you know, you think about that decision now, because at that point Dylan was going to Ohio State. He was committed there.
Yeah, I never know what to do with that conversation.
But I mean, having Donovan here is a big, you know, big the relationship.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's definitely the relationship, but it is practical. There's practical value too, in that Dylan gets the protections from Donovan, so do the other quarterbacks. But the other quarterbacks aren't over at Donovan's house going through them and doing his under the center handoff steps, you know. That's the kind of thing that's invaluable. But listen, Donovan would tell you, and he'd jump in right now and say, hey, I help the other quarterbacks too. But to think that Dylan doesn't benefit from having an uncle that knows all the protections, is coached in the NFL, understands all that, and Dylan carries it over to the field. That's, rules made that very clear. People that I know that watch this stuff, like I said, his football acumen is excellent. It's excellent. He changes protection at the line of scrimmage. Not all NFL guys can do that. Dylan's very intelligent.
And then moving on to some other guys.
Yeah, move on.
Let's go receivers. We have Isaiah Nayor and Jamal Banks, both newcomers, both transfers. Both have had big moments. In fact, Banks has kind of been, he hasn't played
limited
by just based on his experience. But, you know, I think today you would probably tab Jamal Banks as maybe their number one receiver.
Right. And I don't know who's on our list, but I would add Ja'Cory Barney to a receiver you'd look at on Saturday, and Demetrius Bell.
Is Bell healthy?
Maybe not. Maybe he's one of the guys that they're wondering about. Ja'Cory Barney is a dude.
Jermaine Bonner is kind of a sleeper.
Yeah. Ja'Cory Barney is a speedster who's raised eyebrows in a big way, and he's definitely someone to watch. Bonner, you would say, for what I've been told, is Jeniron Bonner, very under the radar, except to people who watch practice, maybe one of the top seven, top six, top eight guys at the receiver position. And
they tried that fullback thing a year ago. I mean,
with Bonner.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We haven't heard a ton about fullback stuff. I mean,
no, we haven't.
Is the fullback now more or less just like a motioning tight end?
Maybe. We haven't heard much about it.
But I think, you know, year one, little red meat, talk about the fullback and everybody, but they have fullbacks. I mean, like Vince Genitone could play fullback when he gets here.
Liebentritt's capable.
They have, but yeah, I think when you have the tight ends coming into this program, you know, you want to use them.
Yeah. That's probably part of it. That may be part of it. That's the kind of thing we learn. And for people who are watching going, well, so how do you guys not know if they're using a fullback? We don't see any of the practices where they run plays. Probably saw, 12 plays in that one portion of practice that we were able to see them run 11 on 11. And I don't even know. I can't remember if they were using a fullback for any of those plays. But we don't see enough to be able to talk authoritatively about what instances they might use the fullback. There's Liebentritt's on the roster, and he's a good one. What I've noticed about Liebentritt is he can really catch the ball. I mean, he really catches the ball well in those passing drills.
You play a fullback if it gives you an advantage. When Andy Janovich was here, they figured out a way to get him on the field because he gave Nebraska an advantage.
Right.
And, you know, these guys behind the scenes that we don't know much about, if they can't give you an advantage in an NFL level league like the Big Ten, you can't play them.
100.
So, I mean, that's the fullback discussion for me. Yeah. If they have a guy that can be like a use check from the 49ers, you use them. But, you know, you're not just going to force it just because fullbacks were once a part of the history of this program.
The other guys you watch, Emmett Johnson's obviously had a pretty good spring. He popped a big long run, the only long run of last Saturday's scrimmage. And then, of course, you're wondering about Dante Dowdell. Emmett Johnson's way ahead of Dowdell, is my interpretation. Is that yours?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. You hear mixed reviews on Dowdell. Some people say, like, he's been good. Some say he's got a ways to go. Mm-hmm. I'll just be curious where they fall, because they are actually kicking the tires on Dylan Edwards.
Oh, they are.
As a transfer here.
Are they kicking the tires?
Yeah, they're in the discussion with three or four other teams. Kansas State's one of the other teams. A&M's one of the other teams. Georgia might even be involved. But, you know, Dylan, there's two things for Nebraska, though. Spots, like, I don't know if they have a true spot right now. They'd have to pretty much put him on a full NIL.
The other thing about Dylan Edwards is he doesn't, to me, he's, Sean, I'm going to say 5'9", 5'10", 170.
He's Wandell Robinson.
Yeah, he's not a guy you're going to line up as a conventional running back all that often in the Big Ten, right?
Maybe.
Hello? I mean, little.
He's a sprinter, though. He's fast.
He's a good football player. Now, he had 361 rushing yards for Colorado. 600 and some total yards. He didn't light the world on fire. He did against TCU in the opener. He had 159 yards against TCU. And that got everybody's attention. Now, he didn't do a ton after that.
Once the tape got out on him, his teams kind of learned how to defend you a little better.
I just wonder what Rule would say. I mean, look at his listing there, 5'8", 155. Now, he's gotten bigger than that. The last I saw, he was 170.
He reminds me of Wandell.
Think about it, though. Think about the guy that Rule seems to prefer, Gabe Irvin, and that body type. Think about what they brought in with
Would he be a true running back, though?
That's what I'm asking. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I don't know that he would be. So then what are you doing with him? Splitting him out at times, running him out of the backfield at times.
Would this be kind of like a better long-term version of Billy Kemp?
Ooh, maybe.
I mean, you know, a motion faster slot guy, a punt returner. Yeah. Because, you know, Kemp was solid. I mean, but didn't have probably the impact we thought he was going to have.
Kemp averaged, I got it right here, Sean.
He led the team last year.
He led the team in receptions.
And he was a victim of the quarterback situation.
Here's the thing. He had 35 catches, averaged 8.9 per catch. 8.9. It's a little number. That's a small number for your number one. Think about it.
Yeah.
No, Teray was like, what was Teray? 15 plus, right? What was Palmer? Like 17.
I mean, Brandon Riley was dang near 20.
Right. Yeah. No, this was 8.9. I don't know. It's interesting that they're kicking the tires on Edwards. It's interesting to me because I don't see him as a conventional running back in the Big Ten because he weighs 170. You just don't see that. Somebody on my radio show said, sit Blake Corum. Blake Corum weighed 210 pounds. Blake Corum was
thick.
I mean,
and he ran low.
Ran low, benches a ton. I mean,
he was closer to a Corey Ross type.
He went crazy in the bench press at the combine. Big, he's a strong. He's a little in like stature, but he's a bowling ball. That's not Dylan Edwards.
All right, I want to get Micah Mazzucca in briefly because we don't know if he's going to play in this game. Do we?
No.
No,
it wasn't addressed yesterday.
He's been out with sickness. So, you know, that's a guy that when healthy, when engaged with what's going on, he's a starting guy on this team.
Guard.
But is he healthy? Is he engaged?
That's what we don't know.
Those are the two questions.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, you'll get your binoculars out tomorrow in warmups and see what he's doing. Is he working with the ones? If he's not, what's he doing? Is he dressed out? I mean, those are the kind of things you wonder about with him.
A grown man, though, that's been a starter for 3 years of his college football career doesn't strike me as a guy that wants to run at the twos.
No.
He started for Florida last year.
Right. It has started for Baylor and Florida.
Yeah.
He has 21 starts at those schools.
He didn't come here to be a depth guy.
No.
No. So that's one to watch closely.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, before we take it to headline number three, Husker on the Headlines, brought to you by Bauer Underground. They're helping shape Nebraska's infrastructure future, and they're looking for new members to join the team. With open positions for laborers, equipment operators, aerial linemen, and foremen, Bauer Underground is searching for the best in construction. Visit BauerUnderground.com to learn more about career opportunities and industry-leading benefits, including competitive pay, employer-paid health insurance, dental, disability, vision, and life insurance, 401k match, new top-of-the-line equipment, and a clothing allowance. No experience in underground utility construction? No problem. Bauer is willing to train the right people in the field, giving you the hands-on experience that you need to build a long and rewarding career. Want to learn more? Visit Bauer Underground on Facebook to view the testimonials from current Bauer teammates. Hear about their experiences, the company culture, the importance of their work. Bauer Underground is family-owned, with crews and work sites across Nebraska. Wherever you live, Bauer has an opportunity for you. For more information, like Bauer Underground on Facebook or visit BauerUnderground.com. Come start your new career today. All right, thanks to Bauer Underground for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. All right, headline three, let's get into some faces to watch on defense. And yeah, I feel like we've been so offensive driven that in the key defensive players, we know who they are.
Uh-huh.
And in some ways, they've been shelved in the key scrimmages. Right?
Yeah, I want to mention one thing before we get to the individual players. It was, again, Rhule gives you a lot of material during his media sessions, a lot. And Sean, he just said yesterday, defense didn't have a good scrimmage last Saturday. They
gave up like 10 touchdowns.
Yeah. And you know, on Saturday, that day, you remember Rhule said, I want to see the film. You know, sometimes it, you know, you don't want to go overboard right after a game or a scrimmage as a coach because you want to see the film. Evidently, the film didn't look good either because he just said on Thursday, hey, the defense did not look good in that last Saturday scrimmage, had a bad day, and they – Tony White will have that group raring to go. Now, that's something to watch, just that. What's the intensity look like? Bill Bush mentioned on the show today, is there strain? Are you seeing strain? I want to see strain. I do. This is a practice. They only get 15 of them. I'm like Rhule. I've always been like this on this game. It's a scrimmage. But it's not. I don't think it should be taken lightly because there's just not that many opportunities to practice in the sport of football.
Well, and with 60,000 fans.
60,000 fans. You got to get some stuff done. You want to learn about these guys. And Rhule, again, he plays that motivator card. We're 5-7, and we're 5-7 until you're not 5-7, you know. So let's see who you're watching.
So Vincent Shavers, the freshman linebacker, kind of a no-brainer. And Blyhill. I think those are the first two. We know about Nash Huttmacher, Ty Robinson, Jamari Butler, John Bullock. We know about Isaac Gifford. Those are the two new faces that could factor into this defense that weren't here a year ago. Shavers, the freshman out of Miami, who's come in and had a really, really impressive spring.
Number 51.
And then you have Blyhill, who came from St. Francis FCS school and is originally from the Baltimore, D.C. area. And he'll come in. He's the son of a former NFL linebacker, Leroy Hill. That was the ACC player of the year at Clemson back in college. So has good stock, good pedigree. And if Blyhill comes in and starts as a relatively unknown FCS transfer, that's called good talent evaluation.
Well, I would say it's already good talent evaluation because Rhule said if the season started today, it would be Hill and Hill at corner. Tommy Hill and
Sounds Blyhill. Like a law firm.
Yeah, Hill and Hill at corner. Blyhill and Tommy Hill. Blyhill, number 23. Tommy Hill, number 31. So watch for number 23 and watch for number 51 tomorrow. 51's Vincent Shavers. I'm kind of known for pouring cold water on everything. I'll believe it when I see it with Shavers. I want to see because freshmen in the box, it's a hard place to live. I mean, within the tackle box in the Big Ten, that's a hard place to live. Freshmen out on the perimeter, I give them a better shot. Newcomers out on the perimeter, I give them a better shot. But but evidently Shavers has hung in there pretty well.
Linebacker, though, is one of those natural instinct positions where
that's true.
I mean, there's a pretty good linebacker in this program that also came from Miami.
Levante David. Let's not do that.
We're not going to, no.
Let's not do that.
You just think about Levante, how natural he was.
From the moment he walked on campus,
he didn't even do summer conditioning. He showed up in August,
didn't start making plays. He started making plays.
And he led the Big 12 in tackles.
I mean, that August, though, in practice, he was making plays. And like people were like, whoa.
Pelini was hesitant to start him. And the only reason he got a start because Will Compton got hurt.
That's right. So you're saying Blyhill and Vincent Shavers. I will go to a veteran that I'm interested in. That was Javon Wright. He started making pretty big plays last year. He's one of the best-looking football players on the team. I want to see what that looks like. He's playing. They'll cut him loose. They'll turn him loose tomorrow. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Wright came up with an interception, forced a fumble. He's an explosive player.
Gifford. I mean, go back to what
Isaac Gifford. Yes.
What
Cooper
said about him.
One of the best players in the Big Ten or something along those lines. Could be an all Big Ten player, all Big Ten level player. Let's see that. Now, I don't know how much Gifford will play. That's the thing. He's one of the guys on the list. You know, they got a list of about 6 to 8 guys who haven't scrimmaged much because they have so many reps already.
I mean, I'm so careful, though, about saying you're all Big Ten. There's 18.
Yeah.
I mean, the Big Eight had 18, and 6 of them weren't good on an annual basis.
Right. It's a lot different world.
The Big Ten has 18 teams.
And 3 of them are Michigan, Oregon, and Ohio State.
And Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's a dip.
And USC. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, you have to be – I mean, you watch the draft.
A freakazoid.
You have to be an elite NFL player to be all Big Ten.
Yeah, you said like UCLA – Edge that was drafted in the first round. I'm watching that guy going, whoa.
And he was medically retired and came back.
2 years, yeah. He had a neck problem. But anyway, okay, who else on
Chief
defense?
Borders.
And, oh, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Chief Borders.
We have Marquise Buford and Riley Van Poppel, but let's stay on Borders because Matt Rhule has really highlighted him this spring.
Well, he said he's the most improved player on the team. Kind of reminds you of Ben Hart last year, right? So if Borders makes the sort of improvement that Ben Hart made last year, think about what that might look like coming off the edge, right? We saw that one drill. I mean, we do get some benefit from seeing practice. We saw a pass rush drill that involved, I'm going to say, some ends and the jacks. And, Borders was working. It made a huge impression on me because he was dripping with sweat in an individual drill. And he was approaching it like they were playing Ohio State. I mean, he was showing that level of intensity in just a spring individual drill. It made an impression on everybody.
What's always impressed me about him is how well respected he's been from the get-go here. Yeah. Like, he's come in and, you know, he's earned a lot of respect just by the way he goes about things. And you're happy for a guy like that that appears to have taken a big step forward. You know, is he, do we know this though? Are him and MJ Sherman kind of playing that jack together, or is MJ Sherman doing some linebackers? Like, that's always,
we don't know that.
That's always the thing that you never know how that jack linebacker defensive end spot. I feel like there's a lot of
movement
with those people there.
Yeah. I don't get too wrapped up in it. Sean, there's no use in getting wrapped up in it.
This is not the 1997 depth chart.
No, where it's set. And you know where who's at what position all the time.
And that was a different game of college football. Teams huddled. There were probably only 60 snaps a game.
Yeah.
And now teams run like 100 snaps a game. Yeah. It's just way different.
Way different world.
You got to play more players. That's really what it. All right. Before we take it to headline number 4, Huskerland Headlines brought to you by Mando. And who doesn't like to smell good? Mando is going to take care of you. They've got some great products. Help reduce your sweat. They're 100% natural, organic, fragrance-free oil. They're dermatologist recommended. Way better than what you're going to find on the shelves in your normal store. We've got some of the products here from Mando, between their deodorants and body washes, outstanding stuff. And we've got a great deal here. If you've never tried Mando, they're going to hook you up with their starter pack. It comes with a solid deodorant stick, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like the body wash or the deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And they've got a discount code. So if you make your first order at Mando, they're going to give you $5 off a starter pack with this exclusive code that equates to over 40% off your starter pack. So use promo code Husker at shopmando.com. That's promo code Husker at shopmando.com. to receive this exclusive promo code where they're going to give you 40% off on your first order with promo code Husker. Thank you again to Mando for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, headline 4, let's get into Troy Dannon because you listened in. Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot that came out of the Troy Dannon interview on the radio Thursday night. But the biggest thing, Steve Sipple, is the stadium project. And, I think a lot of people thought, oh, that thing's dead. Troy Dannon said things remain at the same trajectory as they were before.
Under the previous leadership.
And nothing has changed at this point.
Right.
Officially.
Yeah, not officially. It's, and I think we have to be very honest. I think we helped lead that narrative, right? That this thing is not going to go forward as originally planned. That's right now, it is going forward as pretty much originally planned. He did note, and he was talking fast when he said it. I had to listen to it about two or three times. He did note it's possible that Nebraska's athletic department leadership would go back to the Board of Regents, the Nebraska Board of Regents, with changes, quote, based on the ability to fundraise, okay? So there is that. It's kind of like a caveat, right? That if they can't raise the sort of money needed, they could, you know, you'd have to adjust accordingly, right?
Yeah, and we never really understood what all the money was going towards. Like, you know, we knew the number of 450, but yeah. Like, how was that broken up?
Right, we don't know that.
And, you know, Trev, I was just at Wrigley Field, and I stayed at the hotel at Wrigley Field, right by the stadium, and all the restaurants, all the bars. And the Cubs own that, and It's like their own entertainment district around the stadium.
So they get that revenue.
And that's what Trev, I think, was.
Absolutely.
And, you know, his connections are that Omaha business community and the Ricketts family and people. And So, like, he studied what they're doing there and other places. And I think he envisioned a little district built that Nebraska controlled.
And would get some of that revenue.
Which I don't know how the neighbors in the rail yard in Haymarket would like that.
I don't know. I wondered about that when I heard this originally. I mean,
or is there enough money to go around?
Right. I was told, well, it's not like those places are going to go away. I mean, there's still, those would remain viable options. Now, Dan has been on the job for, I think, 38 days now. So he said, I'm really still, quoting him, I'm really still doing a little bit of getting my arms wrapped around this, because remember, he got hired within about a 7-day window of Trev leaving, right? So it's not like he studied Nebraska and getting ready for an interview. It all happened so quick that he's learning a lot.
Well, and you go back to 2022 when Ted Carter and Trev Alberts had the initial press conference. I went to that one member that they had inside the athletic department where they announced the plan that they're, right. I mean, a lot of time has gone into this.
Okay. Let's put it this way. And I was a Nebraska official pointed this out to me. In fact, when we were saying, and he watched our video and said, hey, be careful with this whole thing, that this is just going to go away quickly. This plan. There's a committee that's been meeting for almost 3 years, putting together this project, getting all the information, setting the stage, getting it going. 3 years.
But what we don't know is of the money they had to raise privately, which I believe was $225 million.
They had to raise that.
How much of that have they got?
They have to raise $225. I don't know how much they've gotten.
They're paying a private fundraiser $5.5 million to fundraise.
That's incredible. That is an incredible number. He noted something that you may know along with this project. This conversation continues. You may know this. I didn't. He said this: we, Nebraska, have $40 million in donor donations each year that back their seat purchase in the stadium. Next to conference television revenue, that's the number one source of revenue. I didn't know that. $40 million in donor donations each year that back their seat purchases. $40 million.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was that high.
Well, I mean, the term face value doesn't really exist. I mean,
right.
Like, right. Face value is the ticket price, but you still have to pay and donate and pay additional monies. Now, there are people that are grandfathered in, and, you know, are they going to get rid of that over time? I mean, that was something I think Trev Alberts was going to do and have to figure out a way to eliminate ticket grandfathering and kind of charge a more consistent price. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I picked up from Dan in your story, Sip, was chairback seating in the East and the West.
Right.
That's going to happen. Like,
yeah, he said that's
that has to. And that, to me, you would think they could do without, like, shutting down the stadium.
Right. You should be able to
do that. Can they get that done? Like, but the South,
how soon are you talking?
I mean, can that be one of the first things they do?
Yeah.
Can they chair back the East and the West?
Yeah. And I think they would chair back the South too. That's when well, the original.
Now the South will have to be torn down.
Yeah. And then eventually I think you'd have chairbacks.
So yeah, chairbacks in the South. The difference is East and West, the aisles are built where you can do the chairbacks.
Okay.
But you eliminate maybe 15-20% of seats.
If they go forward with the original plan, when would they tear down the South Stadium to the ground? When would that happen?
I mean, I would think you would be playing Iowa on Black Friday, and when the game ends, they're going to work.
This year.
Wow. Or you push it another year, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
that's what they got to figure out.
Like, you're seeing what's going on down in Kansas right now. Like, they tore down their stadium.
Right. So they practice elsewhere. They're going to play games elsewhere.
Arrowhead Stadium.
And the soccer complex. They're going to play a game. They're playing games at the soccer complex, like, too.
If you're
a soccer complex for the pro team, Sean, whatever that.
I mean, if you're Lance Light, it sounds cool and all, but that would wear on you over time.
Oh, yeah. They're dressing. It's like the coaches. He's mentioned it. Their coaches are dressing elsewhere. And no, it's a pain. But anyway, this won't be too bad. The other things he mentioned, they got to do some concessions work. They ultimately got to improve their Wi-Fi because they do want to go cashless, and you got to have good Wi-Fi to do that. Or what happened in Ireland, right? Where what happened, Sean?
The internet crashed.
Internet crashed, and the beer became free. Right, the beer became free right before halftime, if I remember right. Right before halftime of that game in Ireland.
I'll never forget that scene. Like, there were guys walking with entire cups full of Jameson whiskey.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
With the Coke bottle, and they were just pouring and making their own drinks. Like, I look at this guy, and I mean, it's like a pint glass, and it's completely full of Jameson.
So it became free. Yeah, you don't want something like that to happen. So, yeah, it was – oh, yeah, and by the way, he did throw in a quote. He said, I told Matt Rhule that winning 10 games wouldn't hurt either to get all this going. But we'll just have to see, Sean.
The whole thing that is still tough in this is you're telling your South End Zone fans that, you know, they could be without seats for 2 years.
I know, that's really tough.
And that's like 23,000 tickets.
Oh, God.
I mean,
so yeah, Sean, he's got to get this stuff figured
imagine
out.
Imagine a venue bigger than Pinnacle Bank Arena or the CHI Center in Omaha, that many people.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, you can't come to the games for 2 years. I mean, that's a lot of people.
It is. So they're meeting with the committee. I believe he said the stadium committee next week. Those meetings are really important.
Right? And look, 2 years is optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
I mean, I think we're seeing that with the Go Big project.
But yeah, I mean, just to recap, this is really interesting that we're having this conversation because we did kind of write this off, but it doesn't sound like they're writing it off.
Well, I think
didn't we?
They're really far down the road though with some of these things, and they're paying somebody.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, you just don't give up on it.
I mean, she's getting the Nebraska Philanthropic Trust is getting $275,000 a month.
Yeah,
to work for Nebraska to raise money for this.
Yeah. So I wonder how that's going. But yeah, again, I want to reiterate a Nebraska official said to me, hey, hold on with this talk. That's not going to happen. That committee's been working hard.
Well, there were a lot of other people telling us that though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But again, though,
kind of anti-Trev people in some
cases. I don't think the head coach is too probably fond of taking away NIL money to build brick and mortar stadium.
I don't know. I wonder. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough.
You think Matt Rhule would rather have, I mean.
No, I know what you're saying. I've heard what he said about NIL. They got to, I mean, it's competitive now.
They need 15 to 20 million a year probably.
Yeah.
For NIL.
Yeah. And that just doesn't happen automatically. That takes some serious elbow grease to raise that kind of money. Serious elbow grease. It does. Matt Davison in 1890. By the way, man, he was really complimentary again of 1890 last night. Just said, we couldn't. And he said this. He said something really interesting. He said, we have to get our fundraisers involved to help them. They can't, just give them leads.
Which, and that, I don't think that was happening.
Well, I know 100% it wasn't happening. I mean, I don't think anything. I know that.
You're not going to play Babe on the Woods.
No, I'm not playing Babe in the Woods on that. It wasn't happening. It just flat wasn't. So interesting, fascinating to hear one AD come on the radio and say, you know, we can help 1890. We want to help 1890, where the other AD would barely mention 1890.
They were in competition with each other in some respects.
It seemed like it. So odd. So very Nebraska. But see, Dannon has the right attitude, and he said we'd be in trouble without 1890. I mean,
and that's a fact.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, it's very interesting. The narrative has shifted so strongly.
All right. Headline number five, big recruiting weekend. And if you want to get caught up on it, by the way, Husker Online, we've got great coverage for the weekend. Already up. Brian Munson has his visitor preview up. Steve Wiltfong as well, who I was with in Chicago this week. He just threw up a preview as well, because it is the recruiting story in the country right now. Nebraska's recruiting weekend. They have a lot of guys coming in, and we got a great promo. If you're not a member of HuskerOnline.com, use promo code NU1, and that's going to give you 2 months of access for $1. So you can check out all this great content from the spring game, from the recruiting weekend. That's promo code NU1, 2 months for a dollar. But let's get into the visitor preview, because there's 8 official visitors. The highest ranked visitor is Michael Terry out of San Antonio. Mm. He is a 5-star athlete out of San Antonio, Alamo Heights High School. And then you have Dawson Merritt, an edge linebacker out of Overland Park, Kansas. And the story there is he has kind of pushed up his timeline, and he might be making a decision sooner rather than later. And Nebraska has gotten Merritt back on campus for a second time this month. So that's a positive development for the Huskers to watch.
Yep.
Cortez Mills, another 4-star out of Florida.
I'm waiting for you to get to that quarterback, TJ Latif.
I'm going down in the order of how we have him ranked, but Alai Kanalulala. I tried on that one, out of Utah. One of the top offensive linemen, actually out of Bishop Gorman High School. Then TJ Latif, who is Nebraska's top quarterback on the board out of Lutheran North High School in California.
Orange, California.
Emmanuel Choice, Antonio Branch, and then John Mills. So it's a huge weekend with 8 official visitors.
Officials. I mean, these are officials, and it's pretty early for officials, right? Because there's not a lot of kids making decisions around this time, right?
Yes and no, but I think Matt Rhule looks at it like this. Like, maybe they can get some of those guys back on campus again. But
in June,
you're only going to get one real crack at them, and the home game season's not going to be a factor for them. Mm-hmm. Get them here for the spring game, because you at least give them a feel of a game day.
Oh, yeah. Some people will be freaked out by it, because Nebraska's spring game resembles like a homecoming game in the fall for a lot of schools. I mean, it's like the downtown, how lively it is all around the stadium. I've always been struck by it. And I get especially struck going on the road to places like Illinois, where Illinois in the fall, that game day atmosphere outside the stadium, around the parking lots, isn't even as good as Nebraska's spring game. You know, it's so, I hate to single out Illinois, because there's a lot in that conversation. There's a lot of schools like
that. Yeah, Nebraska comes close to making like $1 million on a spring game.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. It's just people are pretty wound up.
I always wondered if they just said tickets are free, would it fill up easily?
I wonder.
They did raise the price a little bit this year. It's $15 now.
Yeah. $15. It's not free for anybody.
No. They charge $5 for youth.
Right.
I believe it's 25 for the clubs now.
Yeah. So it's exciting. The kids that are visiting will see a great atmosphere. It is a good list of visitors.
Oh, yeah. And then the unofficial list is deep, too. I mean, there is roughly 20, 25 recruits that will have offers on campus this weekend.
Is that right? So a lot of unofficials.
7. I'm counting in my head here. 10, 13, 16, 18. Yeah, 20, about 25 visitors will have offers.
Okay. So, yeah, you want to get those guys here.
And it's gonna be a nice day too.
It's gonna be a nice day. It's not gonna be one of those kind of brutal spring days we can get sometimes. I think it'll be 70 by the end of the game. I don't know what it'll be at the start of the game, but I'm hearing 70 by the end. So it'll be a beautiful day.
And part of the strategy with these visitors, I think, they wanted to have all day with them. So the game being at 11.
Yeah, that is a strategy.
They can get them to the baseball game, or they can, you know, do more things with them.
Softball game.
The game will end by 2.
Right.
And they'll have all afternoon, all evening with these kids before sending them home on Sunday.
It's great. That's not a bad strategy.
And then in June, there'll probably be 2 big weekends in June right now.
Okay.
That they bring in a lot of guys.
Okay.
So this is probably one of 3 major visitor weekends. And the guys that you bring in on your first visitor weekends are typically the top players you have on your board.
Okay. That's interesting.
And they've already got 7 commits.
Lot local. I mean, it's a very heavy Nebraska surrounding state flavor.
No big headliners. I mean, just kind of
Tyson Terry, maybe a little bit,
but just solid kind of base building recruits.
Right.
You know, they don't have, you know, like this weekend, any one of these guys is ranked higher than the guys that are currently committed for the most part.
Yep. Big. It's big. You want to put on a show. You hope number 15 is ready to roll.
And speaking of put on a show after the spring game.
Yeah.
We will have the Husker Online post-game live show. Could be margarita. Will there be a margarita involved?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot of writing pressure this year, so I'm not writing my column until the Sunday morning, so it'll appear Sunday morning. But I don't know about margaritas. It's pretty early. I mean, who knows? Who knows? You never know.
Husker Online post-game live will be on. Game went at 2. I think we're shooting for a 4 or 5 o'clock start time.
Why don't we just say 4:30?
4:30.
Yeah.
Megan, 4:30. All right. Well, that's our goal. And just depends how long the game goes and when things get done. But we'll be on for at least an hour taking your questions, your super chats.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
And have a lot of fun as transfer portal opens for Nebraska. There'll be some action probably after the game.
Oh, you think so?
A few players. I mean, I think you'll have something.
What happened right away, you think? Not on Sunday?
I would say Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. Okay. We'll see on that. Yes. I'd like to think it won't happen Saturday night.
And it's not even really like hard to cover the portal anymore because it just happens.
The kids announce.
Well, they announce, or when it goes in the portal, the media finds out in seconds. It has gotten harder to get access to the portal though for media. Like, you know, logins used to be kind of handed around. To get access to the portal, my understanding is it's a verification with a text message. So if a media member has access to the portal, they have to have a coach like send them the code.
That gets a little tricky.
And then it only lasts for a week, your access. Yeah, you got to do it again tricky. The next week and the next week. And they can see who's logging in from where. So it's gotten more secure, but there's still media that has access to the portal.
But we're not expecting a lot of Nebraska players to go.
No, it's a standard business.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have some things happen. That's just the reality of college football.
Absolutely. It's the reality of life, all sports.
It's the reality of like any company in America. You're going to have attrition of some kind. So
100.
That's something to obviously be on the lookout for, kind of what will happen. But plenty to stay on with HuskerOnline.com. Again, take advantage of the great special. Promo code NU1, 2 months for $1, gets you access to HuskerOnline.com. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan. Looking forward to a great Saturday of football. Thanks for joining us here on Husker Online Headlines.